Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. May God add a blessing to the reading of His word.
Just as you are to worship, come. Just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Just as you are to worship, come. Just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are my treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, or to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
our gracious Heavenly Father. We want to pause a moment to recognize your presence. And by faith, we claim that promise where you said where two or three are gathered in your name, that you would be there. So Lord, we ask your blessing by sending your presence and for us to be aware of your presence as we worship you this morning. I'd like to welcome you, our guests. Just a reminder, as you walked in, our greeter probably gave you this connect card. We want to be connected to you. So if you're first time or second time, and there's in the back, there's a response. If you wanted some more information about the church, or perhaps you just want me to come by and just to pray with you, or just to ask for prayer requests. We have a prayer ministry that meets on a weekly basis, and we want to pray. We want to be connected to each other. Amen? We just finished our 40 days of prayer that we prayed, we fasted, and we read how to have a better relationship with each other. You know, relationship either makes it or breaks us, doesn't it? No matter what type of business, what type of status that you may have, if you haven't had a good relationship with the people that you work with or the people that you live with, relationship is everything, isn't it? Because you could change the environment and go to most exotic place, and when your relationship with your spouse isn't right, it's a miserable place. So Jesus made a relationship an important part of the gospel. Amen? He says, your relationship with each other, your relationship with me has been separated from because of sin. I want to make that bridge, that relationship with you. And I am going to send Jesus Christ to bridge the relationship with each other and with me, he says. And you know the story. Jesus came, he lived a perfect life, he set an example for us, and he died on the cross because of his love for me and for you. And so he said, I want you folks to share this good news with others. So he decided to tell his disciples to get together as a group of community of believers to start up a church. And to tell the world through the church, church is just a means, an avenue of sharing the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, his love for us. Amen? But sometimes our church hasn't been a good reflection of who he is. And we brought a bad name. Right? And I've been guilty of that. So as a church, we have said, we haven't done what God wants us to do. Instead of focusing about us, our worship, our ministry, our Sabbath school, and all the things, and we prayed that we would be an outward-focused church, that we exist for the community. We exist for the lost people. We exist for the people who do not know Jesus Christ. That is the reason why Jesus have asked us to be a church. And the way that we, as a church, we need to serve like Christ together. There's a song that talks about sharing that good news with others. It's called Mighty Spirit. And Jenny, will you sing that for us? And so just kind of remind us to prepare for the Spirit to speak to our hearts.
He's calling.
across the sky. He's calling out the weary to green pastures. Come and lie. There is a mighty spirit crossing.
The Spirit is working on people's heart. It's not your work, it's not my work. And the Spirit has been working in your heart, has he not? That's why you're here. And some of you are saying, well, I'm just a guest. Guess what? You're not here by accident. God wants to hear this, for you to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, who gives that abundant life. You know, so God says, CMC, I want you to take this great commission to go out and to share the good news with others and to serve others, because the Spirit has already been talking to them and softening their hearts. And what I want you to do, I just want you to serve just like the way I serve. But I want you to serve as a group of believers together, not as an individuals, as a church. I want you to be a team, to be part of that team. But team is not easy, is it, to be part of a team? Well, it's easy to be a part of a team, the people that you like, right? But it's the funny people in your group, the funny people in the church. The person who always talk when he shouldn't talk. When a person does things, why do they do that? But our mission statement, we exist to join hands with you to become what? Mature followers of Christ. To join hands. You know, do you know how you join hands for our churches? And that is to love God, to serve God, to share God with others. But how do you join hands with people that you can't stand? You know, our guests, when they come to church, they can tell if you like each other or not. If this is a loving church or they just put up a front. Because you see, if we are to be the church that God wants, you and I need to get along with each other. Amen? We need to understand each other. So I just want to share some principle, biblical principle that God has that impressed upon me to share. And then also, I speak for myself. You know, yesterday I had an hour lecture for my children. It was a humbling experience. And so while working the sermon throughout the week, and then my children says, Dad, you don't practice what you preach. Did you know that I don't practice what I preach? I would like to. Are you with me? So maybe God was saying, CJ, the message that you're going to share, it's going to do something for you, not for your members. So folks, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me too, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So here it is for CJ. First of all, there are four qualities of being a team. T stands for trust. You see, we need to trust each other. Trust is that emotional glue that draws us closer to each other, to our family. And without trust in the family, guess what? You have no relationships. Right? Oh, I love my wife, but I don't know. I don't really trust her. So I read and met someone. Every time wife left the house, husband would go to the car when she comes back and check out the mileage. And you're thinking, how's that possible? Guess what? They're Christians. It's possible. I heard and met a couple that the husband would take this starter out so that the wife, whenever she needs to use the car, he would put it back and then kind of thing. Trust. And all of you will agree, of course we need trust. But do we trust the people that we worship with? Or do we second guess their behavior and say, I wonder what he or she's doing? Because you see, in order for us to build trust, you and I need to be consistent. And this is, I speak to myself on that one. Sometimes it's hard to be consistent with your, as a parenting, right? As a father. Because you see, consistency, it brings some stability of a relationship. You know, we like surprise parties, right? Once a time. Just once is enough, right? But we don't like surprises all the time in our life. Oh, honey, guess what? I bought a new house for you. Let's go check it out. We want consistency in a relationship. You know, when I think of consistency in a team effort, can you imagine a football team, a quarterback has a snapper, he says, oh, today I don't think I'm going to snap the ball on time when you say hike. Or the linebacker says, today I think I know we practice a lot, but today we don't like the quarterback. So when he hikes the ball, everybody just move aside. Have you ever seen a team like that? You would think, no way would I want to support a team or be a fan of that particular team, but there's no way. There's no way a team should be that way. You want a good team in your ministry, in our church? You and I need to be consistent. The scripture says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, says that whoever can be trusted with little thing can also be trusted with what? Sometimes we want to be trusted with a lot of things. Guess what? The place that God has placed you with the little things, you need to be faithful where you are. And when you're faithful with the little things, guess what? God will give you bigger responsibility. Because you see, if we can't handle little things, guess what? We won't be able to handle big things. And Warren and Sushila, your baby is indeed heavy. That 15-pound. After I gave to Sushila, I felt the weight on my arms. I've shared with you. This is your practice. To be faithful in the little things. Guess what, Warren? Parenting is not going to get easier. You think changing diaper is bad? Wait until they start talking to you and saying things. And Warren, most of all, when Bryce become just like you, when you were little. Because I've heard stories about you, remember? But guess what? It is your stage in your life that prepares you for other things, to be consistent. And you know, the other thing that God wants us to be is that we, as a team, that in order to build trust, you need to be confidential. You need to stop gossiping about other people. If you have an issue, talk to the person who you have an issue with. What happens is when someone shares something, and of course we need someone to share things because God has created us to unload. Now what we do, and that's why God created church to unload, to carry each other's burden. And now we pay someone to listen to us. Right? It is the responsibility of a church. What happens is when we unload, because you see, God created us to share and for other people to understand us and to not only to understand us, but to recognize our feelings and to say, hey, I acknowledge your feeling. It's okay that you want to fill in your own blank. But you know what? You need to keep it to yourself when someone shares that. You know, I'm in a different stage of my life when my children start looking at opposite sex. You know, boyfriend, girlfriend situation. So I have a child who talks to a young girl who talks about her past boyfriends. I mean, this is just, you know, for fifth graders or sixth graders, it's just like, will you be my girlfriend? Yes, I'll be your girlfriend. I'll see you at school. Okay. Is this my world only, or this is what I would like to think that only happens? So I'm talking to one of my kids, and they're saying, you know, someone says something about their past relationship, kind of bad mouthing their relationship with others. And I said, guess what? I said, if you ever date that individual, and when you break up with, or she breaks up with you, guess what? She'll be talking about you. Right? You've been there. No? You haven't been there? Because you see, when we break the confidentiality in our lives, trust is out the window. We need to be consistent and keep things that was meant for you just to keep. And Warren, sorry to pick on your family today because I won't see them. And Sushila's family, I won't see them again. Warren, you know, living by yourself, but then when you have the other sets of in-laws, kind of thing. Maybe not your family. I'm sorry, Warren, you don't have that problem. But I know in my family, we bring the in-laws in and go, why do they do this? Why can't they do this? Why do they do this? And why do they tell you doing this? Not you, Warren, but I'm just thinking, kind of thing. And then what happens is, and then when you're with your own set of families, they talk about the other family. And then when you're with the other family talks about them. And it gets pretty tense. So, I'm thinking, Warren, challenge for your family this weekend is not to talk about, but to build each other. Right? Because they're part of your family. Right? You know, I remember, what happens in Sin City stays in where? I was going to show you a little diagram of, you know, a picture of that, but it was too wild to show in the picture kind of thing. What would happen if the people that share some confidential things in the church, if you kept it yourself and you pray for that individual and it stayed with you? How do you build a team? First of all, you need a trust. And the second is that you need to have empathy. Ease. Empathy. You see, you're never going to live in harmony with your people that you have relationship with, that if you don't have empathy, that you can't understand what they're going through. But you're saying, CJ, I have an issue. When I'm hurting, it's hard for me to feel for the other person. Right? You know that, right? But then, why did God, knowing that when we have a problem, why did he say to go and share with other people and to understand each other? When you have a problem, did you ever resolve it by yourself? Not really, right? You see, God has wired us for us to help each other, to help each other, to solve each other, and to pray and to understand each other. Amen? So don't think of saying, well, I don't have time for other people. Guess what? You'll have time because you need it as much as the other person. Have you ever been in a situation when someone shares and then you go, wow, I feel I'm blessed. Anybody? Oh, I'm sorry. Not this church. Because you see, all of us have this desire to be understood and to have our feelings validated. And how do we minister to others when we're empty? And that's where Jesus comes in. He meets my needs so I can meet to help others. When God doesn't meet my needs, maybe someone else, when I share in a safe, confidential, team-building environment. So how do you have this empathy for others? First of all, you need to slow down. You know, last week, the pastor Pardon, who was here at the service. And he says, I remember CJ. So in the back of my mind, I was saying, what is he going to share about CJ? I thought he was going to share other things in my leadership roles and all different things at the seminary. He said, CJ was always, did you catch that? You did. What was it? He's busy. CJ is too busy to slow down. And I am aware of that too. I have this task. I just don't see people sometimes. I see things I wanted to get done and that's what I kind of thing. You see, in order for us to have empathy, we need to slow down. If you want to see particular landscape or you don't just fly over and say, yeah, I've seen the national park. You drive through, you drive the road trip, or perhaps even walking, hiking through this hiking trails. Guess what? When you're slowing down, you see things and you experience things that where you haven't experienced before. So in a relationship with someone, if you can't understand, guess what? You and I need to slow down. And you know what the other thing is? We also need to ask questions. I work in the frame of mind. If you don't share with me, I'm not going to ask. If you have a problem, if you're not going to share with me, I'm not going to ask. If someone who wants to tell me, they will tell me. But you know, I've learned, working on this sermon, I need to ask. You know, oftentimes, what do we say to each other? Edward, How's it going? How's your day? Good, thank you. And if you stop and say, how's your day? And that person stops and start telling you, we go, oh, I don't know how to handle this. Right? You know, yeah, I just don't know how to. But guess what? We need to do that more often. We need to ask twice. You know, there was a time when I was at one place and one of the pastors knew that I was frustrated. You know, things were happening with, you know, at home. And you know, it's a lot to do with parenting. Because I see, you know, I thought I was a good father until, I would still like to think I'm a good father. But there's still works that I still need, right? Can you feel the pain, fathers? I need my feelings to be understood. So I had an tense moments with one of my children. And so I met this other pastor, and then he says, how's it going? So I said, fine, because that's our normal thing that we say. And then he stopped and he says, no, CJ, you say you're fine, but your expression, your face is not fine. What's going on? Oh, he gave me permission, and I just unloaded it. Guess what? You and I can unload and give other people an opportunity. So we need to ask. And when we ask, we'll have some, you know, we'll understand the situation there. Let me just go quickly. What does the scripture say? Be quick to listen and slow to what? Ooh. Did I say it wrong? Okay, I just want to make sure something. So, and maybe that's why God gave us 2 years in one mouth. So the third point is, you know, the team building A for stands for accommodation. And what does accommodation mean to you? Oftentimes for me, when I think of accommodation, I think of hotel, you know? They provide things, they take time out, they make sure they make my bed and all different things. Accommodating meaning also can say, hey, I meet my needs. Because when you go to a hotel, when you forget something, and they said, oh, I forgot something, they give it to you. Oh, I love those free toothpaste. They're accommodating. Meeting your needs at that particular time. So when was the last time you and I said, I am busy, I have stress, I have relationship struggles in my life, but when was the last time you went to your close friend and said, how can I help you? We're having food fair tomorrow. How many of you said to your leader, how can I help you? What would it be like if someone came to you when you're struggling with things in your life or can't get things done or having, if someone says, how can I help you with the struggles in your life? You know, oftentimes we need to accommodate people's need, but you know what's also even hard at times? It's hard to accommodate their ideas. You're meeting and then you're passing all sorts of ideas and someone out of nowhere says something and you say to yourself, that is the stupidest thing I ever heard. But you don't say it, but you think it. Because in Christians, you don't say those things. But you think it. And you know, actually, one possibility can be that it is a stupid idea, but the other possibility is that maybe that person has a thought that you haven't thought of. Amen? You think when Jesus gave the gospel, the Pharisees and the spiritual leaders of the day, do you think, says Jesus, that is the greatest idea that I am for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise God. I don't think so. They didn't like his new thoughts. They crucified him. But the message that he shared turned the world upside down with the 12 disciples. And it started with new idea. And when a church member or in the ministry, when they share a new idea, you need to step back and to say, how can I accommodate their idea in the ministry? Not easy. Oh, you see, you're thinking, well, that's... But when you're in that situation, it's not. Because you see, God created us different from each other. God gave us a different personality, different background, different understanding. You know, I'm doing a pre-marriage counseling, and one of the things that I do is I share different four types of different personalities. Anybody know the four temperaments and kind of thing? In a brief moment, I'm going to share four different kind of personalities. You see, there's a person who wants to work hard and he wants to get things done. We call it a choleric personality, meaning, you know, strong leader. Sometimes they're so driven by it, they can't see things and they can't see people's feelings either. Are you married? No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say, are you married to that kind of person? But don't, you know. I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. And my apologies. I keep saying with my own background, I have to step back and say, not everybody's married. So do you know anybody who is that way? And of course, there's another person. Another personality is that the person who wants to have fun and enjoy life. They're kind of like lively of the life of the party. They're sanguine. They just like to talk and stuff. And another one is the person who wants to think and discuss things and analytically analyze, talk about it. And oftentimes we have this deep thinkers ask the right question, but they step back. And there's another personality kind of who just wants to be a peacemaker. So you have these four different personalities, okay? So it's a kind of setting in the church. Let's say that as the four of them, or as a church, let's say that church is going on a mission trip to Zimbabwe. By the way, we are going to a mission trip in Zimbabwe. If you're interested, talk to our youth leader, Benji Slack. But let's say, so in a group, so someone says, hey, let's go to Zimbabwe mission. And the person in the person who's a strong leader or task-driven will say, what are we going to do there? Are we going to build an orphanage? Who will be the responsible? What time will we sleep? And how much would it cost? And the first, the fun person, the easygoing person who says, I know a great food in Zimbabwe. We need to go to that restaurant. Or, as a matter of fact, we need to stop by Victorian Fall. And there'll be a lot of fun there. Oh, I can't wait to go. How about a thinker would step back and says, why should we go to Zimbabwe mission? Why should we go there anyway? Why can't we just stay here? Then you have a peacemaker who there's a little bit of a rising of tension. And so this person would say, anybody here not want to go to Zimbabwe mission? How are you folks feeling about this trip? Do you get in a setting in a church environment? So who's right? And who's wrong? There isn't. You see, God has given all of us different perspective, different personality, different background, so that you come together and to be one. What happens is because I have certain personality should oversee someone else's ideas. Have you ever been guilty of that? I know I have. The book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 2 says, be patient with each other, allowance for each other's what? Oops, I'm sorry. Let me just share this one. I know this is a good spot to share. What do you see here? How many of you see a young woman, young lady? Okay, good. How many of you see an old lady? How many of you don't see at all? Or how many of you see both? Can you see my little pointer? We have a young lady, right? Here's her eye right there and kind of nose, my hair. And here's a picture of an old lady. Here's her nose. You see it? And here's her eyes. And here's her mouth. That's an old. Do you see it? You don't see it. Let me share again. Oops, I'm sorry. Here's an old lady. Here's her eyes. Here's her nose. Here's kind of part of her nose. And here's her mouth. Right there. And here's a chin. That's an old lady. And here's a young lady. Okay? You see it? If not, that's okay. What happens in a church and a ministry, when you're working with teams, people see things differently. And what do? Get with it. Why don't you see that young lady? It's right there. You see what I'm saying? Just a quick illustration. And here's the text. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your what? Of love for that individual. Last one, and that I would like to share with you, that team quality of a team is that M stands for mission. You see, to have a team, you have to have a cause. You have to have a purpose. You have to have a mission. Team do not just exist for themselves. They have a reason for getting together. Well, in other words, what brings all of us together with so many backgrounds, so many understandings, different stages of life together? What brings us together as a church? Jesus, right? There are no reason at times when you would meet that individual because you're so different, but because you love the Lord and because God has put the CMC together, he says, now I want you to have the same direction, same goal to go, even with different personalities in life. So we call it a mission. And of course, we have our mission statement, but the Bible says where there is no vision, what? The people what? Perish. So we as a church, we want to really to focus on it, our mission and to work on it. And thank you for those who have prayed and fasted. Because our work is just getting to start it. There's some decisions and things that we need to do and not to do anymore to really say, do we really exist for others or do we exist for ourselves? We exist to join hands with you to become mature followers of Christ. By knowing Jesus, by growing in his love, by serving him and sharing his love with others, and our church will mature. So here's the 4 points. We need to apply those so we can have a better team, better understanding of each other. So let me just share with you quickly, what does it look like in the Bible? In the book of Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, that the people heard that he had come. He's referring to Peter's mother-in-law's home. You see, Jesus made Peter's mother's home the base of the Galilean ministry. Capernaum is the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and they gather such a large crowd that there was no room left. Not even outside door. And he preached the word to them. And the verse 3 says, some men came bringing to him what? A paralyzed man carried by four of them. Four of them. Teamwork. Now, listen to this. Since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Did you see the teamwork? Did you trust? Empathy? And what was the third one? I forget. What was that? Accommodation? And what was the last one? What was that? Oh, mission. Well, that's what, yeah, mission. Did you see those four men? What happens is, you know, the Bible says, you know, the homes were simple. It was 9 by 12 rooms, and they put rocks around it. They built rocks, and on top they would put a beam, and in between beams they would put a dried mud with straws, and they would put it on top, and they would have a little steps to go up. On a hot day, they could be on top of a roof, okay? And so what happens is these four individuals who felt the teamwork decided, we want our friend to be healed. So they start digging the rooftop, and that's how they lowered them. And what happened because of that? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to a paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Maybe we know someone who needs that healing. Physical, emotional, spiritual healing that your ministry can bring someone down. But it takes a team effort. And he wants you. He wants me to be faithful in our team is a thought that I would like to leave with you this morning.
If the deacons would make their way forward, we have an opportunity to return our tithes and our offerings to the Lord so he can use it for his good purpose. Just a thought as they're making their way here. We know the Lord doesn't need our money. But what he really does need is he needs our offering. He needs to know what it is we're offering. What is it we're going to give to him? What is the purpose behind what we give? Why do we give? We need to know why we give. It can't be a knee-jerk reaction. It can't be just a bad habit or a habit that's taken many years. The Lord needs our heart. And as CJ said, in terms of a team, if we all were willing to give, how many more wonderful, positive things could the Lord do through us? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we return just a portion back to you. We ask that you bless it, you multiply it, that exceptional things can come as a result of it. Lord, we would ask also that you would reach into our hearts, that our offering might be of our lives back to you for your goodwill, and so that it might draw others to Christ. This is our prayer in his name. Amen.
I think everybody knows this one.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, but we are going to see the King. No more crying there, but we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His words, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He does. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you that you've shared some thoughts that we need to apply to our lives. So, Lord, I pray that we would be bathed in your love and acceptance. And because of that, that we would be encouraged to apply some principles that we need to apply to our relationship with others. So, Lord, thank you. And as we leave this place, we know that you are there with us. Help us always to remember and to be aware of your presence. In your precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.